11:55. Almost midnight. Enough time for one more story.
We're going to kind of jump into this unless you guys have any objections.
I object.
Two.
Oh, you didn't tell me I had to object to anything. You just said in case I had any objections. I just assumed that was just object.
Just to gainsay, huh? I think is yeah. What that's called.
To assert alpha dominance on this recording. Oh.
All right. It was
weird because it's like oh, it's going to be me and Ryan and Bo. And I was like, wow, it's like two of us are main hosts and then there's Bo. That's going to be weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well.
Because this is supposed to be your show, Bo.
It is everyone's show. And on that note, welcome to Horror Hangover Volume 2, your bi-weekly look at the goings-on on LegionPodcasts.com, as well as silliness. That's really all we can promise. Listeners, first of all, thank you so much for listening to Episode 1, and also for giving some feedback. One of those giving feedback will be on the show today. And I'm trying to take that to heart. All right, so anyway,
fucking name me on the show, just flung me under the bus today.
All right,
one of the bastards that made a comment is on this show today. He may be Scottish. He was probably drunk when he wrote it. I hate him.
I didn't say any of that, and both of you shut up. I have an intro to do. I'll get to you two
now. You know
minute.
How I feel.
All right, this is not Turnabout is fair play time, sir. What the hell was I saying? Oh yeah, so please continue to leave feedback. Obviously the show is tailored for you, the listeners, the people who support us here at Legion Podcasts. So drop by the Facebook page Legion Podcasts, nothing fancy there, and drop a line, let us know how you enjoyed the show, and what you might like to see more or less of. Let's do a little housekeeping real quick before we get to these two knuckleheads. So there's some new stuff, on the network, some new shows. We've got, the VHS Life, which has been around a little bit, but it's on our network now. That's, our old pal, John Rhodes, as well as Mike S. We've got OCD, Obsessive Cinema Discourse. Yeah, it's that's a brand new show. The first episode dropped today, as a matter of fact.
Court.
Oh, yeah, and it's the witch.
And Boz.
Also, Food Chain has its second episode out. And I like that show an awful lot. I'm a big fan of nature gone amok kinds of films. And that is what that podcast is about. First episode was Them. The second episode is Razorback. And that'll be a good time. I haven't listened to that one yet. Just dropped yesterday. And I got to tell you, on a totally personal note, it has been a while since the last episode of Girls Will Be Ghouls. I don't know when the next one's going to be because those drop into my lap like a Christmas gift. those ladies kind of do their thing, and then I just get an email that's like, hey, here it is. So, but I only say that because I want a new one too. So I'm hoping to put that out into the universe, kind of like the Promise, or The Secret. That's what it was.
Are we having one of the hosts on Devour next month?
Yes, we are. As a matter
Good.
Of fact,
you can harass her then.
I will. Also, still shut up. One more thing, and then we'll get to introductions. So the t-shirts, if you go to Facebook and go to legionpodcasts.com, you will see a link there to the t-shirt we're selling. So turns out we found out there is a little snag, because there's no way to change the color of the lettering on the back. If you were to order that shirt in black, the URL of this here podcast network also in black, not a great thing. So so oops, first of all. Secondly, if you were to have and you can get it in other colors and it shows up just fine. So it's just the black on black that's the problem. If you purchased one that is black on black and would like a refund, please contact me at bo@legionpodcasts.com. The shirt is still available for the next few days by the time you hear this. And then we're going to take it off and then correct those mistakes. And then we'll do like the regular, hey, any old time you can get this shirt. So, or if you want a piece of stupid history, then buy one of these shirts black on black. And you can say like, hey, look at Bo's mistake, preserve forever, which is pretty good. So at any rate, thanks again for those who bought Richard Glenn Schmidt of Hello, This is the Doom Show, another damn fine podcast here on legionpodcast.com, showed off his shirt that he got, and I think it looks pretty good. He said the material's real good, so we want it to be a quality shirt, and it seems to be. So I'm very pleased with that. So so that's it. That's all the housekeeping we got to do. That's some of the new stuff we got coming here recently. And now let's get to the co-host today, the guests, if you will, who, you know, very rudely interrupted all through the introduction.
I object.
I don't even know what order to do this in. All right, knucklehead number one is the host of Devour the Podcast. He is an interrupter. He is a musician. But mostly the interrupter. Host of the new VD Clinic podcast. One quick note. I will say this. Duncan jumped in today to save us because Ryan was supposed to be here. And
yes.
Before I forget to do this, I want to say he will be on a later episode of Horror Hangover, of course. It was kind of an unavoidable thing. And I promised him I would mention that Graveshift Radio is on the rise, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, so we'll get into that more with him later. But, hey, keep on the lookout, listeners. It's coming. David, so we are recording today. We're also recording tomorrow. One of the criticisms I received from unnamed, constructive critics, I would call them, is that we did not do enough in the first episode to explain to listeners who may not know who the hell you are, who the hell you are. So who the hell are you?
My name is David, or as most people around here know me by my full name, which is so fucking weird. My name is David Anders Jr. I am the host and producer of Devour the Podcast, which is a horror podcast that is technically been around for 5 years. We recently came back from an extended hiatus with Rob Zombies 31 was the most recent episode we did. We will be recording a new episode tomorrow with my co-host Vanessa from the VD Clinic. We'll be discussing Donjan Hess, and then that'll be out later this month of July. I also host the VD Clinic with Vanessa. It is a more open discussion of a book and a film, usually around a general theme. And we actually just recorded last weekend for our July episode, which is our Satanic Panic episode, where we'll be discussing Ty West's House of the Devil and the air quotes memoir, Michelle Remembers, which, spoiler alert, that book's fucking terrible.
Oh, well, that is a big spoiler. Kind of not surprising, really.
No, it's bafflingly bad.
I like to think of everything we do around here as bafflingly bad. Just a real head scratcher how any of this could be allowed to happen.
Right?
Cool, yeah. I'm actually looking forward to tomorrow quite a bit. I think that's going to be a fun discussion.
Indeed.
The other interrupter in our midst is
objector
even is one Duncan McLeish. He is the host of the podcast Under the Stairs, is my co-host on Duncan and Bo Come Correct, currently in its third incarnation as Duncan and Bo Go to Twin Peaksies, where you can watch two men just crumble psychically. Duncan, what am I leaving? There, you do a ton of shows, so you do a better job introducing yourself than I do. Who the hell are you? What do you do?
Thank you very much, Bo. I would just like to say that I did not give constructive criticism. I just merely enabled someone that had already given constructive criticism. So I can't take credit for the suggestion. I just seconded the suggestion. So so I just wanted to get that on the record there.
You seconded that emotion.
I did. That's exactly what happened. Yeah, so I am Duncan McLeish. I am the host of the podcast Under the Stairs, which along with Devour the Podcast, I think we were like maybe the first two shows on the network under its previous incarnation.
Yep, I think so.
So, although your show has been around at least a year to a year and a half longer than mine. So Podcast Under the Stairs is, once again, it's a horror review podcast, kind of focusing more on the entertainment aspect. So I try to mix up things, lots of themes, lots of different ideas, lots of different show suggestions, commentaries. And we have a subset of shows called Baz V Horror, which are immensely popular, where my colleague, my dear, dear friend, and
the certifiable
abusive Scottish drunk, the Baz, sits down and watches movies that he's never seen before. He only started watching horror about 3 years ago, and we're working our way through tons of movies, some of which are a delight to listen to him just agree wholehearted with me, and other movies where he just rips into them and says they're awful and we should all feel ashamed for liking them, which is the best reviews. So we're currently looking at, I'm actually in the middle of two franchises at the moment on Podcast Under the Stairs. I'm just about to, as of Monday, drop the final installment of the Hellraiser franchise retrospective, looking at the final three parts, which is part 7, part 8, and part 9. David Anders Jr. is on that one. I will not tell you what one he's on because it's a secret. And the following week, myself and the Baz will wrap up the final three movies in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise. So that is the remake, the prequel to the remake, and that fantastic homage to all things Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that 3D one. Remember that 3D one?
Yeah.
Oh, do your thing, cuz. Do your thing. I also do, Duncan and Bo go to Twin Peaksies. Like Bo said, we have changed that show quite a lot since we started that 3 years ago, but it's a ton of fun just now. We are going slowly crazy every single episode. You're welcome. I also do Chronicle, which will be coming back in August, which is a European horror exclusive solo podcast. Each episode's about 20 minutes. It picks, tends to go by themes, although season 3 is exclusively looking at the movies of Fulci. So 7 Fulci reviews over a period of 14 weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. I also do a show called Opera Omnia, which is coming back next month with Andy Blockley. That one looks exclusively at a different director every season and works through their Opera Omnia or back catalogue of works. Our first season is looking exclusively at Michael Mann, and we're about halfway through that, but then Andy was in the process of selling his house, has finally moved into his new house, so we can begin recording again. So that one will also be coming back. I do Graveshift Radio, which is coming back, and The Midnight Horror Show, which is also coming back. So I'm going from a steady 3 podcast, which I quite like, back to having about 7, which doesn't seem fair. But yeah.
The upside to being on all those shows is I can ask you, hey, Duncan, what shows are you on? And then I literally baked a pie. it's cooling on my windowsill now and will be delicious later.
The thing is, last week I turned down someone got in touch with me who I greatly admire, actually, and I will not, because I'm not going to mention names of that, because there is a chance it may happen somewhere down the line. Someone got in touch with me with this great idea and suggestion for doing a Giallo-only podcast, and I was like, that's the dream. That is my dream, but I now no longer have time. I have zero time to do anything else, so we'll put that one on the back burner until one of the others falls through or ends. End! Why right. Wouldn't you end? And then I'll finally get the dream. I can drop the name. It's Baz. Baz loves Giallo. No,
that would be amazing. Yeah, at some point it's bound to happen.
It's inevitable at this stage, but yeah, it's all good. Thank you for having me on here last minute, replacing the rather sexy Ryan Lewis. I am not at the standards of sexiness that man is at, and I will do my best, tripping over my words right at the start because that's how much pressure I'm under, to try and be as seedy, as smutty, and talk about my cock as much as possible to represent that show.
Excellent. Yeah, your voice is really a big letdown for people who were expecting Ryan.
He's got, Schmidt in general.
Yeah, well, I mean, he has the sexiest voice in podcasting. There is no getting around it. All right, gentlemen, in an effort for our listeners to get to know you a bit better, we have a series of events planned. The first thing is, what are we watching? And preferably something you're not going to talk about on another show. You know what? Doesn't even have to be horror. Just tell me what's tickling your fancy. David, let's start with you.
All right. I actually haven't had a chance to watch a whole lot recently, just because of scheduling. However, I did get a chance to finally sit down and watch all of Glow this week. The new Netflix series.
Yeah, how is that?
Very good, actually. Really, really entertaining. Marc Maron is fantastic. There's a couple of some of the characters are a little underwritten, which makes sense because it's a big fucking cast. But I think it manages to pull itself together through the whole series and is actually very entertaining. And I was really annoyed when the series ended and I was like, wait, what? That's at the end of the season? What? Wait, no, there should be more of this. So, good on you, Netflix.
Yeah, well done. I'm curious about that. I like the, what's her name, Allison Brie from Community. Yeah. I think she's funny.
She's really, really good in this. Like, everybody is really fantastic. Like I said, Marc Maron, I think, really knocks it out of the park as the kind of sleazy director guy. But he's also got some moments where he's actually kind of getting to act. And you're like, oh, wow, you're really good, Marc Maron.
No. All right, well done, Marc Maron. Yeah. Duncan,
yes.
I can't imagine that there's anything you've seen recently that you're not talking about on another show.
I'll swing in a couple very quickly, mostly TV shows because there's so much TV that I've neglected recently. So I binge watched Netflix, doing what Netflix does, the series of Unfortunate Events, which I am a big fan of the movie. I've never read the books, but I'm a big fan of the movie. I do like the Jim Carrey. I think he's very, very funny. And some of his characters in that particular movie, even though it is a kid's movie, like, are absolutely fucking amazing. Wonderful, wonderful characters. And I was apprehensive in approaching this because it's that way where a character has been played. I always bring it back to, it's The Shining. You know, you've got Jack Nicholson as Jack Torrance, and that is great. And then you've got that dude that plays him in the TV show, and you're like, that, you are not Jack Nicholson. And his portrayal is probably more accurate to what the book is like, right? But you're not Jack Nicholson. I'm sorry, someone has done it first. And the big criticism of the movie was that Jim Carrey wasn't playing true to that character. He was, you know, being Jim Carrey. So I was quite apprehensive. Neil Patrick Harris is doing that character. I'm going to say that show's really good. Really, really, really good. Very fun. Totally absurd. Very fast-paced comedy. Very quirky. And he is excellent in it. Like, Neil Patrick Harris is very, 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 very funny and really commits to being as outlandish as possible. And, yeah, it is worth checking out. I watched all 8 episodes, and I can't wait for season 2 of that one. It was really, really good. Also, now that we're swinging into Preacher, has started back up, Preacher season 2. Big fan of season 1. Watched the first 2 episodes of season 2, and they are incredible as well. That's another show which generally wouldn't be something I would necessarily gravitate towards. I'm not really into comic book stuff, but that one is, you know, it's as removed from comic book kind of superhero stuff as possible. He's an anti-hero, which kind of makes it pretty amazing to watch, so I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I watched a little movie last night called The Bad Batch.
How is that?
FYI, that's a really fucking good movie.
Okay, all right.
Really, 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 really enjoyed that one. And I want to say that I heard about it maybe last year. I think one of my co-hosts on the Midnight Horror Show had seen it. One of these cons down the road. This is directed by the chick that did A Girl Walked Home Alone at Night.
Oh.
Right. So this is our first American movie. Okay. And it is brilliant. Kind of, you can't go too much into it without starting to spoil details. And I really don't want to do that because people should go and check it out blind. But it's the total opposite of A Girl Walked Home Alone at Night, in that it's brash, loud, colours. Just a really interesting story. I wouldn't necessarily say it's a horror movie, which I think is where it seems to be getting a lot of press at the moment. It kind of straddles that it's more of a thriller with a kind of slight tinge of horror. So
the horror community, a Green Room sort of vibe.
Yeah, well, it kind of exists in the same genre as The Green Room for me. And that, you know, if someone wants to make the argument it's a horror movie, I'm not going to agree with them, but I'm not going to argue with them either. You know, they're entitled to their own opinion, that one. I wouldn't say it's not a horror movie. But yeah, very, very good. She is an excellent director. Really, really good. Clearly shows that it wasn't just a one-hit wonder. Although people that were saying that back then, I was like, if that's what constitutes a one-hit wonder, you know, like, because I loved that movie. I thought A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night was an incredible movie.
Yeah, just real good.
Like a super confident first outing where you're like, this feels like this person has been directing for years. You know what I mean? Such a unique, very steady, confident voice. And that's carried on into this one. Can't wait to see where she goes next, because I get the feeling she is now just... It's so different from the other movie that I think she's just doing what she wants, which is kind of what I want from directors these days. I just want them to do what they want. I don't want them to do what a studio wants, although I'm very much aware that's how the system works. So yeah, check out The Bad Batch. Really, really, really good movie. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, at the risk of pimping our show once more, because of the release of The Bad Batch, I've been thinking about A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night quite a bit more, and mm-hmm. I really feel that film has very distinct Lynchian qualities I really love, and I didn't really make that connection until I'd been thinking about it again recently, but it's very much in that wheelhouse, and that's a fine film.
There's a couple of artistic choices, particularly the use of the kind of monochrome black and white sort of filming of that, and particular setups and particular tones and moods in that movie that are right, and that's in the Lynch handbook of how to make a movie. So you know, it's right out of that. So I find that the longer we go on in reviewing movies, specifically genre movies that aren't just your usual zombie nonsense, the longer we go into that, the more I realize that David Lynch could be arguably one of the most important filmmakers of the last 50 years, you know, with ease. And I sometimes think that people don't give him enough credit. You know, it's a David Lynch movie, so it won't make sense. And right, you don't like David Lynch's movie, but that shouldn't take away from the fact that he has influenced a lot of artists, a lot of filmmakers, a lot of script writers are all taking things from Lynch and putting them in there. It might not be overtly Lynchian to the point where you're like, oh, well, this feels like I'm watching Mulholland Drive, but it's through there. You know, you can see these things. It can all tie back in some sort of weird Lynchian, you know, mind map of movies. He's everywhere. He's absolutely everywhere. So, yeah, it's a good movie anyway, and if you've not seen that, check that one out. And I'll just say, because we were talking about it so much in the last one, Bo, I went back and checked out, for the third time this year, Ghost Dog.
Oh, it's so good.
Legitimately, I'm now thinking that if someone pressed me to do, like, a top 20 movies of all time, I think Ghost Dog might actually even make in the top 10. That's how much I love that movie. It's so good. It's just, like...
Everything about that movie works, and a lot of it shouldn't, but yes, it totally does.
It's weird. It's so, so weird, but it's amazing. So there we go. I'm shutting up now.
All right. I'm going to make this a dealer's choice kind of thing. You want to hear me talk about Underworld Bloodline or the Quatermass experiment? Quatermass.
Oh, shit.
Well, I know what I want to hear, but then I also want to know why you watched that Underworld movie. Like, I want to hear Quatermass.
You know what?
It's pronounced by the Quatermass.
Save your Bloodline story for Devourer.
All right, all right.
That'll be good for the people.
All right.
This is the first time you watched Quatermass.
It was my first.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
It was my first viewing of the Quatermass experiment. It kind of threw me because forever I had been calling it Quatermass in the theme recently of shit that Bo thought was one thing that was a completely different thing. Whether it's John Landis and American Werewolf in Paris or the Quatermass experiment. And to this day, Quatermass doesn't sound like a real name to me. But anyway. Yeah.
The irony of that is the movies actually, when they were trying to name the movie to try and come up with something, they went through the Yellow Pages in the UK and they just like randomly flipped through it and stopped and put their finger down on a page. And the name that it came under was a doctor by the name of Quatermass.
Yeah, so that's
that
stupid.
Name is real.
Yeah, I don't care if it's real or not. I don't like it. But I think it's a cool name. It's just hard for me to pronounce because I'm stupid. But I'd never seen it, always heard about it, and finally sat down and watched it. And it, you know, it's like, a hundred and not even an hour and a half long. It's like an hour, mm-hmm. 20 minutes, something like that. So it's a real quick sit. That movie's fucking great. Like Quatermass himself is a weird hero for the film, or at least protagonist. I don't know that the movie really has a hero. It's very odd, as a movie goes. But yeah, so he's a scientist who fucking fires a rocket, doesn't know where it's going, doesn't know what's going to happen. And by the way, broke protocol to do it was just like people were like, maybe we shouldn't fire that rocket because we don't know what's going to happen. Quatermass was like, fuck that, rocket go boom, and shoots three people into space. And when the rocket comes back, like the officials are like, fuck, what, like, first of all, you weren't supposed to shoot that rocket off. Second of all, it almost killed some people when it crash landed back into the earth. What do you have to say about that? And he's like, here's what I'll say about that. I fired a rocket into space and I brought it back successfully. And you're like, motherfuck, you are sciencing the shit out of everything. Cause that's his gig, is that he's just like, I don't guess, sir. Science is my master. So yeah, but and then two of the astronauts are turned into a protein jelly, and the other one is infected by some kind of space proto Carpenter thing, which, you know, one of the reasons I watch this because John Carpenter talked about many times that Quatermass was a big influence on him. And it's very, like, you can see the groundwork of his version of the thing, as well as the, you know, who goes there story. But yeah, so anyway, Quatermass is a bizarre character, because he's just so dedicated to science for science's sake that, mm-hmm. he would be the villain in most modern films. You can't have somebody who's just like, we're gonna see what we can do. Like, we're gonna, let's take some old people and fire them at the sun. you know, he is just that kind of pure science dude. And anyway, but it was a fascinating movie, and it's kind of a fun creature feature. The effects are actually pretty good for the time. And I there are some really creepy scenes of the astronaut when he's been, you know, whammied by the space alien and whatnot. With the, is it his wife? I was never totally clear on whether it was his wife or his girlfriend or whatever. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't think they don't implicitly or explicitly imply either. So
yeah,
that's kind of.
At first, I thought she was just a fellow scientist who maybe was dating him. And I think that may be the case. But anyway, doesn't matter. But when she's like, I'm the only one who can take care of him and is hanging out with him all the time. But he's starting to look like Lurch from the Addams Family, getting all sunken-eyed and whatnot. And But there are a couple of creepy scenes where she'll be doing something and the camera's, you know, facing both of them with him in the background, and you'll see him start to look at her like, I think I'm gonna eat her. And it's really creepy. There's some like genuinely weird and great moments, as well as the Quatermass character being the epitome of, you know, let's hit this button and see what it does for the sake of knowing what it does.
Can I swing a suggestion to you for a follow-up movie then?
Quatermass in the Pit?
Well, there are a series of them there, but if you want to go slightly off-piste,
okay.
I know you do like a ghost story. The Quatermass Experiment's written by a guy called Nigel Neal.
Of course it is.
Yeah, of course. It was an English writer, wrote for a lot for like BBC over here, like did a ton of science fiction and horror. In early 70s, I want to say like 71 or 72, they did something called The Stone Tape. And The Stone Tape is creepy as fuck.
Okay, all right.
Just really fucking weird, but he wrote that. But he's you're talking about like John Carpenter talking about him. Do you want to know what the creepy connection between those two is?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, because like Halloween 3,
mm-hmm.
Season of the Witch is actually written by the same guy that wrote Quatermass Experiment. So.
Yep.
The original
script was, and then they had to go in and change it because they're like, this is a smidgen too dark for us.
Yeah. So, same author. And you can kind of tell that whole Celtic thing that comes up. And Stonehenge and all the rest is very, you could tell that was written by him. So John Carpenter was a huge fan of the Quatermass Experiment, and rightly so. I think it's one of those ones where people talk about obvious things in British horror, and you gravitate towards the Hammer horror, or you start looking at folk horror, start going down the roads of like The Wicker Man or Blood and Satan's Claw and things, that there's this weird period in the specifically the 60s and 70s where like they were doing sci-fi horror, and not the same way Americans would do like B movie 50s and 60s sci-fi horror. It was kind of like the British equivalent, where they're all like, "Oh, hello," and you know, "Deirdre, pass me the tea, please, and the crumpets, and then we will investigate this aeroplane crash. What do you mean it's a flying saucer? By Jove, you know, is it that sort of thing, right?" But the there's a weird off kilter thing about all those movies, and particularly his writing, and particularly in the stone tapes, which is just weird. I think they did the 100 scariest movie moments, or the 100 scariest moments on Channel 4 in the UK like about a decade ago, and both the Quatermass Experiment and the Stone Tapes were in the top 50 because they scarred generations of British television and movie course. Just really weird. So yeah, check them out, bro. Check it out.
I will. I enjoyed that quite a bit. And just
actually just get into that.
Well, it, you know, everybody's got gaps in their knowledge, and try to plug those. And I've been on a big Hammer kick, and of course,
I was about to say you're going through a lot of British stuff just now, which is cool.
Yeah, a lot of the old like Amicus and Hammer movies have been. I've been in a gothic kind of mood lately. Not that Quatermass is terribly gothic, but you know, it's early Hammer, and I was picking some of that up. So, gentlemen, let's talk about a little bit of news in the world of the horror films. And the first one, I'm curious to know where people come down on this movie. So there is a sequel to Deep Blue Sea that is coming. And the... What makes it notable, not only is it a sequel to Deep Blue Sea, a movie that is beloved by some, and it's that it is going to be a sci-fi production, Sci-Fi Channel film production. That feels right to me, but anyone think that Deep Blue Sea deserves better?
Not really.
Because I was thinking about this, like the original Deep Blue Sea has shitty looking CGI sharks,
Right.
A ton of plot holes and bad writing.
Right.
The only thing it's really got going for it is the one moment with Sam Jackson and Thomas. And Thomas Jane is pretty good in it. But, I mean, that's kind of it, right?
It's of its time.
It's dumb as shit.
You know what I mean? It was directed by, what's his face? The guy that did Renee that Harlan. Horrible. Yeah, The Exorcist did. Yeah. Which you know, explains a lot, because his Exorcist is more an action movie than it is a horror. And Deep Blue Sea falls into that camp as well. It's basically an action movie. I don't know why people still refer to it as a horror movie. I'm assuming it's because it's got sharks that eat people in it. But I think that's tenuous, to say the least. I don't know. It wasn't a very good movie. It's cheesy. It's cheesy fun, right? So if you're in the mood for a cheesy fun movie, which you will laugh at because it is ridiculous, then yeah, that's the sort of movie you can shove in. What was telling for me is the only reason this is going ahead is because of the success of what I would say are legitimately interesting shark movies. So The Shallows, which I don't think is a great movie all round, but 2/3 of that movie is actually really well done. And 47 Meters Down, which I think is a really good movie. I think it echoes shades of The Descent in that movie, and there's a certain kind of claustrophobic, nihilistic sort of outlook on how the characters are going to end up, which I kind of love. That because those two movies have done well, you're getting a Deep Blue Sea 2 coming to sci-fi, which is like, it's just the worst reason for making a movie, because it's not going to be made, one, not on the same budget, two, with the same care and attention, or three, with the same sort of script writers and actors and actresses. It just is not going to happen. So basically what they're saying is that because something has worked, they're going to give you a lesser product because you will like it because there's an appetite for it, which is the wrong way to do things.
Yeah. I don't know necessarily if that's why they're doing it. I feel like this is more of one of those things where the rights happen to fall into their lap, and they have, you know, the sci-fi channel production. We all know The Asylum is going to do it. The Asylum is their in-house fucking production company at this point. So my guess is the rights to Deep Blue Sea happen to fall into the laps of whoever owns sci-fi channel. Viacom, Comcast, whoever is our media overlord in that particular area. And they went, hey, we've got this fucking property. But, you know, they pump out those fucking Sharknado movies every couple of months. You know, let's pump out another one, except this one's got a little bit more name value to it, and maybe people check it out.
But I think at this stage that Sharknado has the bigger name value.
Yeah, that's true.
See. It seems weird.
Deep Blue Sea maybe has the maybe prestige, or maybe it's got a classier. I don't know. I don't know why we're getting a sequel to Deep Blue Sea in 2017.
It's almost 20 years old. Deep Blue Sea came out in what, 98?
I think so.
Must have been about then, 99-ish. So if it came out then, that's almost a 20-year-old movie. Why do a sequel to it now?
Right.
Who cares?
I really think this really feels like somebody probably had a shark script floating around somewhere, and somebody happened to get the rights to the Deep Blue Sea name, and they said, fuck it, let's do that.
Yeah.
For the sake of clarity, Deep Blue Sea is 1999.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And
18 years old. Get a sequel now.
I haven't seen 47 Meters Down. Like, I'm a sucker for a good shark movie, as even though I call Deep Blue Sea dumb as shit. I've still seen Deep Blue Sea 3 or 4 times. Would watch it on a Sunday afternoon in a pinch, you know? Because I like killer shark movies, and even the bad ones I like a little bit more than I probably should. But I'm a big fan of The Reef, which is a fairly recent shark attack film. And yeah, I thought that movie was really intense. That movie worked for me on a lot of levels. So well done, killer sharks. And to keep that killer shark ball rolling, gentlemen's,
I'm looking, actually really looking forward to chatting about this one, because I know two people that have seen this movie, and both of them have completely different opinions on it. So,
all right, well, Open Water 3, Cage Dive, which sounds like a video game.
Yeah, it does.
That is coming out. So, and apparently out enough that one Duncan McLeish knows people who have seen it, and what do they say about it?
Well, it's funny you should mention it sounds like a computer game, because it's shot first person.
That's a bad idea.
Right, so you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? One person that saw it, and he will correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure this is the movie. I think it came out under a different name in the UK when it did Glasgow Fright Fest. One person that saw it told me it was one of the worst movies he saw all that weekend. The other person that saw it actually works for a fairly reputable distributor of movies, who happens to be a friend, who actually told me it was one of the more interesting movies. So interesting, maybe not necessarily saying it was great, but said it was a really interesting movie and it did things that he'd never seen before. And that's usually enough to get me to watch a movie. If someone says, oh, well, you know, there's at least one scene in here that you will have never seen in a horror movie before, I'll switch that on and watch it, even if the rest is awful. Or even if that one thing is awful, the fact that someone is trying to do something in a, like, from a different stance than what I'm used to is enough to guarantee that I will sit through a movie. I didn't know it was the third installment to a franchise, probably because, like I say, when it did the tour over here, there you go, it was originally called Cage Dive and has now been rebranded as Open Water 3 Cage Dive. So it was Cage Dive over here when it did the festival circuit, and like I say, Boz from the newly acquired Legion show was the other one that saw it, and he said it was hot garbage, except with a lot more sweary words in it. I thought the trailer looked bad, but like I say, the fact that someone's like that, oh, it's a first person shark movie, I'm in that, you know, I need to watch that. I just need to see how it is. And we had recently that Hardcore Henry first person movie, which I fucking loved. You know, it was just an incredibly simplistic action movie which delivered like a lot of nonsense and a lot of Charlotte Copley, which I love. I'm gonna check this out. It most likely will be shit.
Yeah, I thought the original Open Water I enjoyed quite a bit. Open Water 2 I think is the one where the baby's on the back of the boat.
Oh god,
which is one of the most manipulative and disgusting things that I totally support. Of like, what if the parents are trapped in the water and there's a shark in the water, and you're like, well, that's fucking terrible, but wait, there's a tiny helpless baby on the boat and they can't get to it to get it out of the sun or feed it or nothing, and you're like, that sounds horrifying. It's like, right, that's Open Water 2, available now.
I forgot that movie had a sequel.
I don't remember that movie being particularly good, but I remember them like dropping that baby on the back of the boat being memorable. Because I'm dark, but that's fucking dark. I threw this in here because Ryan, I think, had been talking about it as well, but this is more of a David situation, I think. But
I played a lot of this now, so I can comment.
All right, well, we need to organize that then. Friday the 13th, the video game,
yes,
is out, and I haven't played it yet because I was waiting for somebody I know, because I don't like to play them games with random people in public. That's stupid. But what do you guys think of the Friday the 13th game? Is it a good time?
Yeah. I've been playing on Xbox. I know Duncan has been playing on PS4, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
I've also talked to several people who are playing it on PC. As far as like technical shit goes, it seems like PC is the most stable of the versions. and is getting patched more quickly. Because the game was buggy as shit at launch. I had it launch weekend and played it all through launch weekend, and it was buggy as shit, and servers crashed a lot. I was like, okay, it's launch, it's fine, I understand. The servers are still kind of broken. But they've at least identified what's probably causing the problems, and they are getting the shit patched. Straight up gameplay wise, it's a blast. The first time you sit down and play it, you kind of just go with it. And I think I got really lucky because I did play during launch weekend. So I was playing with everybody else who had no idea what the fuck they were doing, really. And if you get a good group together, there's very much a sense of teamwork, or there can be. It's really fun. Like, I didn't know that this would work for a slasher game, basically. Or at least Friday the 13th. It didn't seem like it would be something that would make sense. It's actually really, really fun when it works. Server crashes aside, server problems aside, it's really fun. They released the NES Jason skin last weekend, I believe.
It was really cool.
He's got his own custom music that he plays when he comes near you, which is actually really creepy. Because you kind of get used to the sting music through the game, because it's just Friday the 13th score and you're used to that. But then, like, you'll be in a house and all of a sudden everything goes silent, and you hear this weird little 8-bit music off in the background. It's like, oh fuck, he's nearby. Oh shit. You know, cause it's like I said, the Friday the 13th music is, you know, it's the stuff you've heard in the movie. So, you know, when Jason's nearby, it plays a specific song, and you're like, okay, I know he's nearby. I think I've managed to get up to level 26 now, I think. I didn't get to play a lot during the double XP weekend, which I think was last weekend, because I had a bunch of shit to do. Super fun. I love it. The developers seem to be very on top of listening to the community and just, like, talking to the community and, like, explaining what's going on with things. There was a big kerfuffle because there's a Savini skin, or a Savini design Jason specifically for the game that was only available if you backed the game. And people who didn't back the game are pissed because they want it. And the developers are like, no, we gave you plenty of time to buy this. You can't have it now. Fuck off. But they've also recently just been like, hey, we're going to start banning people who are, you know, breaking the rules. And here are the rules that we've changed to make this game more fun. Because people were, like, glitching through walls and shit, like, specifically so you couldn't hit them. And basically winning matches just for the sake of winning, when it's like, that's kind of not the point of the game.
All right. Duncan, rebuttal.
nothing to really rebut, actually. I'm kind of with David. I've not played it as much as him. I got it launch weekend as well. I played maybe about two or three games on it, but it did take quite a bit of time because you're playing with randoms, it takes a bit of time to get the game started. They have fixed a lot of those issues. I finally, after about what will be about 10 games of play on it, finally last night managed to play as Jason. And
how did you do? Are you a good serial killer?
I'm fucking incredible. None of them got out alive. But I realized two things. One, I don't often play games online. There's a reason. The main reason behind it is that I'm Scottish. Yeah. So you do, like, the language becomes overtly aggressive very quick. Like, very, very quick. And you start wishing horrible things on people. Like, I wish that someone got ball cancer.
Now, see, that's... If I had a Jason who was running around screaming gibberish like that in a Scottish accent, I would be howling.
Yeah,
yeah, that but
would
that
be
was
fucking great.
No, that's when I'm getting killed by Jason.
Even funnier.
When I was Jason, less of that. However, right. I did realize that when I was killing people, I realized that I was doing the mama, and it does that in the game already. I'm like, I don't need to do this. The game does this. And one of them was like, Shirley, get the gas can. I was like, petrol can, like correct him and stuff. But I did two things which I'm not happy about. My wife, who's in the same room as me, looked disapprovingly. I killed one person and said, "Take that, you fat American bastard."
Were you killing Shelley?
No. I just assumed the person I was playing was a fat American bastard.
Yeah, probably not wrong.
She killed the chubby counselor. That would be.
And funny. Then the character on screen was skinny. Like, could you say, I just assumed the person playing with. Okay. On the other side of that controller was a fat American bastard. And the second thing I did was when I killed the final person, I screamed. Very much like Patrick Bateman does when he drops a chainsaw off the top of the. That's because that's what I did when I killed him. And no one wanted to play with me in that room after that. Everyone left. It's a ton of fun.
Did you play?
The original Jason.
You're playing three then.
Yeah. I'm not that. I don't have that. I'm thinking I'm a level 5. So not okay. Die a lot in that game. I'm with David. I would never have thought something like this could be as fun as it is until you start playing it, and it is just a fucking blast. Absolute blast. And you are constantly trying to find ways to outsmart the Jason character. When you wonder how he's so good until you play Jason and you see the attention to detail they have given that character, just these different special abilities.
Jason's a lot harder to play than you think he is.
Oh, God, yeah. I have so much respect for the ones that, like, seem to be fucking incredible at it, because the powers are really good, but having played them once, I would have to play them about 3 or 4 times before I felt comfortable and all the controls and what I'm doing. So, yeah, I think it's as buggy as it is, and, you know, the issues are there and they are kind of blatant, especially on PS4. I will say it is more than worth the money I paid for it. And in day and age, if you're a horror fan, it's the sort of game you want to play with your horror friends. You can have you get a couple of beers beside you, get a group of friends, get all online, start playing that game. You've got a night sorted, and it's a night that at the end of it, you don't feel like you've wasted, like you would be if you were Bo watching something like with the Ouija Experiment 2. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Bo, I haven't watched it yet.
But the fact you said yet means you are going to watch it.
After seeing Jason Gray's, that like he went through all 4 Ouija Experiment movies.
Oh my God, there's 4 of them?
There are 4 of them.
Fuck.
And he went through them all, and it had some hilarious stuff to say about them. And I'm tempted because they've been vetted that they are kind of hilariously bad. So
it's a bad idea.
I know.
But I highly recommend. I think it is a ton of fun, and hopefully these guys go on to continue releasing patches, more content. Yeah. They've got lots of great ideas. Tons of ideas.
We're supposed to be getting a single player sometime this summer. No real word on what that's going to be, but there's supposed to be a single player campaign coming.
I heard something about Jason X.
I've heard some rumors about Jason X. I believe they've said they can't do the remake Jason or Freddy versus Jason for some reason.
Rights, maybe?
Doesn't really make a lot of sense because it's New Line, but whatever. Because Jason X was New Line too. Anyway.
Well, but there was the whole deal where, what is the writer's name?
Victor Miller.
Victor Miller has some weird rights holding for Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
the name.
Yeah, but yeah, the game is super fun. I like the diversity of the characters themselves. Every counselor feels different. Mm-hmm. They all have distinct pluses and minuses. If you pick a character who has shit repair skill and you try to repair something, you're going to get fucked. Whereas if you play like Deborah, who you haven't unlocked Deborah yet, but she, oh my God. Deborah's so good. Where Duncan's at, where he's leveled at, like he's got like a pretty good, like as far as the counselor characters, he's got a pretty good selection of like basic character, like a good like starting map of, and this is credit to the developers, they made it so when you start out you get like 4 or 5 counselors I think to start out with, and like 2 Jasons. And then as you progress, you unlock more stuff. And those opening counselors you have all have okay stats, but like one stat is higher than another. So like AJ has a really good stealth, but her speed is awful and her stamina is awful. And then as you unlock the rest of the counselors, you start to see that, oh, you know, those early counselors kind of give you a way to ease yourself into the game. And then you can start getting into these more challenging characters like Tiffany or Deborah, or Adam, who is a fucking beast. And let me tell you, you, if you're playing as Jason, you don't want to see a pack of Adams coming because you are fucked. That's a recipe for disaster for you right there. I had that happen. And the same thing with Jason's. Like, every Jason has his different weaknesses and bonuses. Jason 3 is kind of the best all around Jason because he can run, which is helpful. And all of his special moves have a pretty good cooldown on them. Personally, though, I kind of really enjoy Jason 8 and Jason 7 so far. I haven't unlocked the one from Jason Goes to Hell yet, but 8 and 7 are both really, really good once you figure out how to play them, because they're both slower, but Jason 8 has crazy fast water speed, which in certain maps can actually be really beneficial just for getting around.
So
the goddamn boats don't spawn often enough.
So are you guys playing PC or PS4?
I'm on Xbox.
Oh.
And I'm on PS4.
And yeah. And is there any cross platform play?
I want to do it, but I don't know.
I don't.
That's not there yet. Realistic.
Yeah, I don't think they've got that yet. I know I've got a couple other fellow podcasters on my Xbox friends list. Like, I've got Danny and Dr. Dark from the Midnight Horror Show. I think I've got Darren.
Loads of it at the moment. So
every time I'm on, fucking Danny's playing Elder Scrolls.
He does also play a lot of Elder Scrolls. He only plays it when I think the guys from the Midnight Horror Show are available to play it.
Yeah.
So if I was you, I'd drop him a line and just ask him when he wants to play it and set up something that way. But Darren from the Cybersemanticast is playing it quite a bit. So
I've been trying to get a game in with him. I've been playing mostly with some people I've met through random games that were cool. I've grouped up with them a bunch of times. I've got a few people on my friends list from one of the forums I read. It has a thread specifically about Friday the 13th where people have been like sharing their stories and kind of cool meta ideas and emergent gameplay issue things that pop up. And like, yeah, it's a fucking great game. Like, on the surface, it's just like counselors versus Jason. That's really interesting and fun. But like, you can really, like, if you want to make, you can kind of tweak how the game plays just by how you play it yourself, which makes it very fun. So yeah, I'm gonna shut the fuck up about this game now, but buy it. It's $40.
Buy that shit. That was more than enough.
Such a dick.
I spend a lot of time playing that fucking game. All right.
Yeah. No. I'm genuinely curious to play. I just got to figure out which platform it's gonna be, and I don't have an Xbox Live account anymore. So I might just go PS4 because not because I don't want to play with you guys, but that means I got to resubscribe to a thing. Just to play it online, and I've already got the PS Plus stuff.
Yeah, we should totally do PS4, and we should totally do like with the headsets and get some random people in there and just start doing voices from Duncan and Bogo to Twin Peaks.
Oh my god!
All right, I can make all of that happen.
You imagine playing a whole game as Nadine?
Please stream that.
I think a little Wilford Brimley would be good too, especially as a counselor.
Oh my god, can you please, I would love to see James as James' voice as Jason.
Right.
James like just Laura. Killing people just saying you don't look like Laura. Yeah.
Death Killer doesn't look like Laura.
No one's heard Billy Zane yet. Wait till they hear Billy Zane.
Oh,
that's coming next week. It's the greatest thing ever.
Billy Zane's a pretty good voice. I like it.
It's a terrifying voice.
So, all right, moving on. This is just one of those news stories that we don't necessarily have to talk a ton about. I just want people to know about it because I think it sounds awesome. There is an anthology of stories, Words What You Read in Order, coming out pretty soon, called Knights of the Living Dead, which, you as you might expect, is a collection of zombie stories. Most importantly, though, Joe Lansdale is one of the authors contributing to that, who had also done, for Book of the Dead, a story called On the Far Side of the Cadillac Desert with Dead Folk, which is incredible. He is the writer of Bubba Hotep. Yep. He does the Happen Leonard stories, which are an IFC series now. Like, he's a great writer. And having him as part of this anthology just immediately made it a must-buy. Feel free to comment. We don't have to. I just want people to know that's a thing that's coming out, because I want that to do well. Because I love Joe Lansdale. Not because he has a homonym name.
He did, what do you call it? That one with the dude that played Dexter. We reviewed it.
Cold in July.
Yeah. Which is a great movie.
Which is a really fucking good movie. Jim Mickle was behind that one. He's one of the showrunners behind the Happen Leonard ones as well. I'd be interested to check that out. I do have a lot of time for Lansdale's work. I think he's a really expressive writer. I don't know why. It's specifically about things I read from him. When you read it, there is a level of surrealism, but you can picture it all really easily. That I'd be quite interested to check out. Yeah, so that has my attention, Bo. Although when you said Knights of the Living Dead, I just expected a lot of kind of medieval knights.
Yeah,
like in some sort of some sort of After Dark special. If you know what I mean.
Well, that's stupid, Duncan.
Come here, Tiffany, and help me remove my shield and garments. No, don't touch the chainmail, it chafes!
I was expecting, like, zombies and knights or something, but apparently Duncan just immediately goes to...
That's the Templar ones, isn't it? That's the...
Yeah. The Blind Dead?
The Blind Dead, yeah.
Yeah.
Been done, David. Let's do this. Let's do this smutty, porny one. Come on!
All right.
Also in the anthology... Brian Keene,
mm-hmm.
David J. Show, old splatterpunk guys, John Skip, John Russo, and George Romero. Joe Lansdale is mentioned, but yeah. Some names I'm not as familiar with, but man, I'll read anything that John Skip writes. I was thinking recently about the Skip and Spectre novels, Light at the End and Animals and The Bridge and the Scream.
The Bridge, yeah.
The Bridge is
so fucking good.
Speaking of dark, fuck.
Yeah, right?
That book goes places.
Talk about
places.
Nihilistic.
Yeah. That is a book, it's the feel-bad hit of the summer.
Yeah.
If you want to read a book that's going to pump you out.
What you think.
Yeah, it does not.
That book literally is just a giant middle finger all the way through, and it's just rubbing itself in your face.
You can almost hear the guitar solo that is happening as you read the book.
Yeah.
It's that, man. Oh, anyway.
God, yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, more people should read The Bridge by John Skip and Craig Spector.
Yeah.
One final news item that interested me recently. Suspiria. They discovered a 35mm print of the film, an original print, and it is going on the road. And it is touring several cities, one of which happens to be my hometown of Nashville, Tennessee. So, yeah, pretty rad, right? I mean, this is one of those things that when it happens, I'm like, wow, that's a really cool piece of history that just popped up. And, even if I weren't in a situation where I can go see it, I still think it's real neat when stuff like this happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe they added a bunch of cities here in the States. I believe San Francisco was added recently. So depending on when it's taking place, I may try and get out to go see that.
That's August 11th in San Francisco.
Okay.
That is September 16th here for me. But yeah, I actually already contacted the theater that's showing it here, and I was like, no fucking around. I have to have tickets for this.
Do not fuck with me.
Yeah. You're
this
not.
This is what it looks like when you fuck another man in the ass, Donnie.
Yeah, I'm. Oh man, I'm so excited. It's in like the original Italian and all that. So, I'm
jealous, obviously. Suspiria is in my top five movies of all time. Top five horror movies of all time. I think it's fucking amazing. And opportunity to see, even though, I mean, I've seen some of the stills from it and the article that you've sent over, and it is suffering that kind of pinkish reddish hue that kind of comes over 35 mil prints that are just, you know, they're aged. However, it'll still be a fucking bitching experience, and one that you'll be able to say that you have had the opportunity to check. It was interesting to see that the Synapse guys in the States are really touchy about anyone talking about Suspiria at all. And it could be that their restoration thus far is about 3 years in, and it's still not out yet. But they are very quick to dismiss anyone doing anything Suspiria-like at the moment. So there is a Blu-ray restoration, I believe, just come out in Europe. And Synapse were all over it, basically saying that their print was shit, which is very nice of them, you know, to do that to a sure. company that was releasing it in a completely different region. Thanks for that, Synapse. And then they were very quick to say that they have nothing to do with this print. Their print came from Italy and it's much more, you know, pristine than this one and all the rest. Instead of just saying, you know what, horror fans, go and fucking check this movie out because we know you'll like it. And then after it, you want to buy our Blu-ray. Just saying, shitty move, Synapse. Shitty fucking move.
Yeah, I mean, why can't we all be happy that more people exactly. are watching Suspiria?
Right.
I know. You know. In 2017, why can't we all be happy that Suspiria is still available for people? I mean, there are so many movies from so many Italian directors that are amazing that are getting these treatments now. But there are so many, I read them in books all the time about, you know, these almost forgotten, lost Italian giallos and horror movies that just came out in this 25-year period where, like, every week in Italy there was another, you know, giallo or another horror movie coming out. And a lot of them have disappeared. And you read some of the descriptions and you read the people that were involved and all the rest, and you want to see those movies. So any opportunity you can have to go out there and support a movie like this, which is touring, the fact that they're adding dates is because there's been so much social media attention with it. You guys just need to keep that going, and hopefully this thing will just keep going. And why should it stop? If the print's fine, just keep it going from state to state, from town to town, and let horror fans have the opportunity, whether they've seen the movie or not, to experience Suspiria, because there is, hands down, no horror movie out there that remotely is like Suspiria. Many have tried to emulate it, Dario Argento included. There is no other Suspiria except Suspiria.
Yes, completely accurate. All right, gentlemen, we conclude these proceedings by playing a game.
I want to play a game, Bo. Why do I have another movie coming out this year in October? I thought I was dead. I died in the third film.
Duncan.
Film?
I want to play a game. It's going to suck. It's going to be blue-tinged and barely watchable. We're going to play a little Would You Rather.
Oh.
Would You Rathers supplied by the listeners of this very podcast. Oh, all right. I've got my ranking of favorites here. We're gonna start with the ones that are fairly straightforward. I don't think we're going to get a lot of argument about this. Would You Rather from John Rhodes. Would you rather cut off your penis or be forced to watch a loved one die?
Ooh.
I mean, how old, like, which loved one?
Right.
I think
it's specific here.
Yeah.
There are people that I class as loved ones, but I love my dick more.
Right. All right. I would say immediate family and people you're in a relationship with.
Right. Let me make this really easy. I would cut my dick off because science is at a stage now that they can reattach it.
All right,
science is not at the stage just now where they can bring back that loved one.
I don't like the backsies here on this. You like the dick stays. Well,
you
cut
can't
off.
Expand it. No, you can't expand it. With wood,
you're expanding it right now.
Right, you're no. throwing in the like. This is
you're throwing in science.
Right, and
right, sorry. Right, well, then listen. Right, I know that that is science. So I don't change my answer. I don't change my answer. I keep my answer the same. I just don't explain how my dick gets reattached.
I, you know, Monopoly is a game too, Duncan. And you play by the rules, all right? You don't arbitrarily build a water park on Park Place and say that's $1 billion rent now. You have to play by the rules. And in the question itself, at no point does John imply that you can reattach. It's a either or.
At no point does he apply itself forever.
All right, fine.
Just says cut your dick off.
All right, fine. Duncan's cut your dick off, David.
He's so annoyed with me. He's like, I can't even fucking play the fun game I'd set out here. Has to bring his rational, logical Scottish brain.
Right, this is America, Duncan. Their magical realism is our reality.
Right?
All right.
A goddamn orange goblin is our president. Depending on the loved one, I'd say loved one.
China.
China. David is probably correct. I think it depends on the loved one, but in general, I think you got to go dick over loved one. I mean, like, cut your dick off as opposed to watch a loved one die.
Yeah.
Likewise, I don't know why everyone wants us to be in pain.
Oh, God.
John asks us, would you rather shove a cactus up your butt or watch Lawnmower Man 2? Again, I feel this is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Like
Lawnmower Man 2.
We're all saying cactus up our butt, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, that's the fun choice. No, I mean, Lawnmower Man 2 is not... Yeah. God damn it. Lawnmower Man 2 is, you know, 90 minutes-ish, and you're in and out, and, you know...
You feel dumber after watching it, but you're not having a surgeon, you know, rectally remove fucking, you know, pricks from your from your ass for the next. It was funny, like, there's so many connotations. I can imagine him giggling like a little girl when he was typing this out.
Probably.
We know what you're like, John. John does have a very strange fixation on male genitalia and inserting things in yourself. Rectally.
I mean, don't we all? You can hear more from John on the Shotcast, available here on legionpodcasts.com. All right, so moving on. I feel like Lawnmower Man 2 is the obvious choice. Yeah. Now we get into some fucking brass tacks here, gentlemen.
That's not how exciting it was.
Would you rather be stuck on a long car trip with Franklin from Texas Chainsaw or Shelly from Friday the 13th?
This is Kobayashi Maru here. What the fuck are we doing?
Oh, wow. Darren coming in with the hammer. I mean, for me, it's obviously Franklin. I hate Shelly. Like, Franklin's awful, but Shelly is worse.
Franklin's annoying.
I'm going Shelly. Sorry, guys. I know you're that you really hate Shelly. Franklin, I've got enough. Franklin is what almost, like, I love the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but I also credit it as having the most annoying character in the history of horror cinema, and as Franklin, I hate him. So yeah, I would rather sit with Shelly. Sorry.
I mean, Shelly's going to be pulling little fucking pranks on you the whole trip.
And then he's going to fucking cry when you yell at him for being an asshole.
Yeah.
Fuck Shelly.
Fuck Shelly is what I'm saying. All right.
You know what? It's going to be a new shirt.
Fuck
Shelly. Team Fuck Shelly.
Yeah. Hashtag Team Fuck Shelly. Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, Duncan, come on, man. But
no,
I know.
No change for me.
I know. I'm not trying to talk you into it. Just surprised us all and a little disappointed. The Witch.
Oh, no.
This one's actually really interesting. It's not awful the way all the others have been.
Thanks, Witch.
Yeah, thanks, man. If you had to bring back one video format to watch for the rest of your life, Would you rather bring back VCR, VHS, or Laserdisc? VHS, convenient, but not great quality. Laserdisc, better quality. Total pain in the ass to keep up with and watch.
Yeah, and we're once again, I'm going to try and impart logic in here and get shot down by Bo. There was just clearly more movies out on VHS, so I'm going to opt for VHS. If I had to bring them back, there's more movies on VHS than there were ever on Laserdisc.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you, actually. I think that's the correct way to look at this, that there are movies that you can still only get on VHS.
Yeah.
And I'd like being able to watch that old weird stuff is more important to me than fidelity.
Yeah, I can see that.
What Bo said, much more eloquent than what I said.
It's the accent. makes everything sound smarter. Yeah, that's the old stereotype. Americans way too smart.
It's, yeah.
All right, and David, where do you chime in on this one?
VHS. I've never actually handled a Laserdisc, so
yeah. It was kind of a cool format, and for a long time, maybe still to this day, it was the only place you could get a pretty good, not quite HD, but better than just VHS version of Star Wars uncut, like untampered with by
right.
The Gobbler.
No. Oh, see, that's like poetry. They rhyme.
Oh, god damn it. That's Wilford Brimley as Darth Vader.
Oh, could you imagine?
Where are the plans for the Death Star, god damn it?
Oh my god, there's a it's on YouTube. Cinefamily did their Star Wars mixtape. It's like an hour long. Just, it's a mixtape basically of weird Star Wars related shit. It's really funny, actually, and kind of charming in a lot of ways.
All right, I will
so check that shit out.
Yeah. All right, that is our game. Would you rather here on the Horror Hangover, and that's going to bring it to a close. Thanks for hanging out with us and playing some games and talking about some news. And all that fun stuff. So yeah, check everything out at legionpodcasts.com. One more time, David, where can people find you?
Devour the Podcast is available on Legion, is on the Legion feed. It's also available on the Devour the Podcast feed. You can find it at devourthepodcast.blogspot.com. VD Clinic is exclusive to Legion. We also have our separate iTunes feed now, so you will not miss an episode. Episode 3 should be out a little bit later this month because it is now July. facebook.com/groups/devourthepodcast. I believe we also have a VD Clinic group. I think it's /VD Clinic groups/. Yeah, I think it's what it is. And Devour the Podcast is selling t-shirts on Teespring. Check out any of the groups related to Legion and you will find a link to it. Because I don't remember what the thing, it's teespring.com/stores/store. I think it's store/devour-the-merch. We have 3 shirts up now currently. A Fuck This Movie shirt, a Devil Baby Yolo shirt, and a classic logo shirt. They're about $22. So got an order shirt, and there is a promo going on, but you have to enter a, it's weird, it's in the check the group. There's an explanation of how to get the promo code. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, there's bloodletting.
It's needlessly complicated.
Then you have to prove citizenship first of all.
Yeah.
Duncan, how about yourself, sir?
I'll keep this one a bit more focused to everything else I do is available on Legion Podcasts. Almost all of them are exclusive except the Podcast Under the Stairs. Podcast Under the Stairs can be found at Legion Podcast, but it can also be found on a standalone feed. Come and join our Facebook group page, facebook.com/groups/tputscast. You can check out the website, tputscast.com, and follow us on Instagram and on Twitter, both at tputscast. Yeah, thank you very much for having me on. It's been a ton of fun chatting just stuff that isn't podcast under the stairs for a change, and not franchise horror. It feels refreshing. Right? Or Twin Peaks. This is the almost
or podcast. Rob Zombie's last movie.
Oh, fuck you for that, David. Thank you very much. Hey, everyone man. Else is like, you know, like let's come back and let's do Get Out, greatest horror movie of the year. You know what? Let's do Ganja and Hess. Let's do Night of the Demon. You know, let's do all these great. Is Night of the Demon you're doing? Isn't
no,
it's
Demon Nights.
Demon Night. Well, it's still better than fucking Rob Zombie's 31. Oh, what I did to you? What fresh hell I woke up in where that was the movie I did. I'm still angry about that. Fuck that movie. Fuck Rob Zombie. You've been great, Legion Podcast. Good night.
I wanted to say that I appreciated you coming on for that episode because I felt like that would. Since it was the second episode back, I knew we needed to get the energy. We had to gel the show just right to where it should be. And when Jamie and Bo were both like, "Yeah, that movie sucks," I'm like, "Excellent, excellent. This will bring
let
this
the
will,
hate flow through you.
Yes, this will bring us back to the where
let
we need
the hate
to be.
Flow through you. God damn it!
God damn it!
God damn it! Let the diabetes flow through you.
Search your feelings. I am your father. God damn it.
No! God damn it. I just want to hear him do every part now.
Oh my god.
I love you, god damn it. I know, god damn it.
Feel the full power of this fully operational desktop.
God damn it. God damn it.
It's trap, god damn it.
If you strike me down, god damn it, I'll be stronger than you ever imagined, god damn it.
That's the one character that definitely needs to be Wilford Brimley is Admiral Ackbar.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. Stop it, everybody. We got to close this show. Sorry, listeners. Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend. Please drop by legionpodcasts.com, both the website and the Facebook page. Let us know how you enjoyed the show. Let us know what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear. And, you know, obviously things you don't want to hear include Duncan. I get that. but no.
Everybody should have a safe holiday weekend. Don't blow yourselves up.
Or if you do happen to blow part of your hand off, please take a picture and send it to us. But don't do that.
Different lifestyle over there, isn't it? Really, see if it's like a holiday weekend over here. We just tell people to drink.
It's America's birthday, okay? You know what I mean? We have to get drunk and we have to blow some shit up, and we're ready. You know, barbecue. It's America.
Yeah.
Drink responsibly. At no point do we say don't go and blow yourself up. I'm just saying. It's different world.
It's very, very different culture, so just stay out of it. We know. But we still live in a country that allows us the freedom, Duncan, to potentially blow off all the digits of one hand. And I for one, wouldn't want to live in a country that didn't allow that.
God bless America.
Oh, say, can you see, god damn it? All right, folks, have a great weekend. Have a great rest of the week. We will see you in 2 weeks for more Horror Hangover. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.